the Acts chapter 21. I desire that we read from the verse number 17, 10 verses. Let us read in our first reading this afternoon for the strengthening of our faith on the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Acts 21:17. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when we had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. Then take and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple, to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. This far I desire that we read in our first reading. Now before our Heavenly Father, let us bend our knees and in our hearts let us worship the Lord with prayer and thanksgiving. Our Heavenly Father, in our weak hearts we desire to worship Thee. We desire, O Heavenly Father, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, to worship Thee with gratitude and praise, with prayers and petitions of our souls. We believe, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that Thou art King of kings and Lord of lords. To Thee belong honor and glory, worship and praise is Thine. The multitudes of the heavenly hosts are worshiping Thee, and all the ministering spirits are zealous without delays to do Thy will instantly. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we walk upon the face of this earth, as we are living within the frame of our flesh, this body that is ever changing, so many times, O Lord, we see ourselves weak and small. So many times we feel that we are not prepared to serve Thee as Thou art worthy to be served, worshipped, and praised. And yet, O Lord God Almighty, when we come to Thee in our prayers, when we turn to Thee through Thy holy word, when we, O Lord, seek Thy will, in Thy great goodness and mercy, O Lord, Thou art always with us. We thank Thee for this blessed word of Thine. We praise Thee, O Heavenly Father, for the salvation in Christ. And we desire in our weak heart to serve Thee, walking in purity, in holiness, in righteousness, in true godliness. Therefore, once again, we bow before Thee, and we open our weak hearts to Thee, O Lord, and in our prayers we call upon Thy holy name, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Thou hast blessed the fields and vineyards and the cattle of Thy people in the times of old, as Thou hast enabled them, O Lord, to offer upon Thy altar sacrifices that were pleasing to Thee, according to the law, in sincere godliness, Thou wast purifying and sanctifying them to serve Thee and to do Thy will and to enjoy Thy blessings and to share from the abundance that Thou hast given them to share with one another. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, today in our morning meeting Thou wast giving us Thy holy word, and Thou, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, wast merciful, gracious and loving to hear the prayers of Thy people and to incline Thy holy hearing to our praises, O Lord. Thou wast feeding our souls and comforting our hearts with that beauty and simplicity of Thy teaching, Thy holy gospel. Thou hast given us, O Lord God Almighty, a new reminder that as Thou wast walking upon the face of this earth in the body of Thy holy Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the power of Thy Spirit, with love, compassion and understanding of human needs and human weaknesses, Thou hast brought heaven near to the mankind. And in Christ our blessed Redeemer Thou hast opened the doors of heaven. And in Christ Thou hast given us, O Lord, the proclamation of the teaching of salvation. And Thou hast announced that year of Jubilee, the year, O Heavenly Father, when everyone can return back to his inheritance, when everyone can be made free from the yoke of bondage, when the debts were forgiven and the redemption was paid and one offering was offered for all of Thy people to bring joy and gladness to every heart that believed. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou hast revealed to us that in Christ, our blessed Redeemer, Thou hast given us the revelation of Thy truth, that Thou hast built upon that rock of ages the precious cornerstone which Thou hast placed in Zion. Thou hast built the city of refuge to all of us that have deserved death for our sin. And in Christ, the Lord God Almighty, Thou hast given us the way of salvation and the door into life everlasting. O Lord God Almighty, may our hearts be always open to thy truth, and our minds enlightened by thy light. May our soul overflow with praises. May our whole being, O Heavenly Father, belong to thee, that with love and gratitude, with deepest appreciation and the highest reverence for thy great and holy name, we may be adorned in Christ-likeness and filled with thy Spirit, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, to love thee, O Heavenly Father, and to rejoice in thy goodness and mercy that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. O Lord God Almighty, teach us thou to respect thy commandments. May thy godly fear be on every side, so that we never transgress thy will. May our heart be filled with a true, sincere, and lasting desire to serve thee and thee alone, for thou art our Creator and thou art our Redeemer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as in our morning prayer we prayed, that thou graciously and lovingly forgive all our debts, all our mistakes, that thou remove every disobedience, every misunderstanding. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thy goodness and mercy may so abundantly fill our hearts and minds, our souls and spirits, that we also patiently bear the burdens for much more thou hast borne for us, that we also gladly forgive to the others that trespass against us, for much more thou hast forgiven to us, O Lord. O grant us firm faith and remove all doubts and fears, all worries and wavering. And thou, Heavenly Father, fill our days and our activities with faithfulness of true godliness, that we find our greatest pleasure and always new delight in doing thy will, worshipping thee, honoring thee in everything that we do. Holy Father, Almighty God, thou art King of kings and Lord of lords. To thee belong our whole heart and mind, our whole being and all of our time and efforts. Fill our hearts with thy love, pure and holy heavenly love. May that love of thine, O Lord, sweeten the difficulties of our pilgrimage. May that love of thine fill us with zeal for thy will. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thou make our soul free from vanity and pride, free from lusts and sinful desires, and thou make us meek and humble, patient and kind, and yet make us thou firm and strong, that we may endure in every battle, in every trial, relying upon thy goodness and mercy, that we may endure with the strength that thou art supplying, that our souls may rest in Christ our blessed Redeemer. O Lord God Almighty, our loving Heavenly Father, May that blessed hope, hope of thy triumphant return, when thou wilt come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to gather thy elect ones, those that thou hast redeemed with a precious price. May that hope keep us in expectation of that great and glorious day, that all our labor and everything that we do may be done, O Heavenly Father, to serve Thee, to proclaim the good news, the day of grace and mercy, to invite the human souls to come to the Savior and receive forgiveness and experience that redemption and new life in Christ. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Almighty God, grant us that zeal that we gladly, even joyfully serve Thee, and that all our life, all of our life, and the way we live, O Heavenly Father, may reflect that one desire, the longing of our soul, for Thy heavenly mansions and the zeal of our hearts to serve Thee and Thee alone. Gracious Lord, merciful and loving Heavenly Father, keep us Thou from desiring the things of this world, and grant us, O Lord God Almighty, to walk before Thy holy face in purity, in true holiness, despising the sinful pleasures and vanity of this world. Make us Thou zealous for Thy will, O Lord. May Thy word be our delight and our daily bread and the fountain of life in the wilderness of this world. Gracious Lord, grant us an ever-growing knowledge, an ever-growing zeal, and ever-clearing understanding of Thy will. For soon the days of our pilgrimage will be over, and that blessed rest and that endless joy that Thou hast prepared for the faithful ones, O Lord God Almighty, will be given to those that have endured. Holy Father, we of ourselves are weak, and we cannot make a single step forward without Thy help. Lead us Thou and teach us Thou, Lord. Teach us to pray. Teach us to praise Thee. Teach us, O Heavenly Father, to herald the coming of the great day of judgment. That, O Heavenly Father, all those that be moved with Thy godly fear may seek salvation in Christ. Gracious Lord, in our days when many are walking to and fro, when many, O Heavenly Father, are trying to be teachers and not knowing what Thy teaching is, in our days, O Lord God Almighty, when there are so many groups, so many that want to be called by Thy holy name, grant us Thou that true and sincere zeal and clear understanding of Thy will, that we be not swayed away with the wisdom of this world, that wisdom
that in thy sight is foolishness.
But thou teach us, O Lord God Almighty, to trust in thee, to study thy holy gospel, and to follow in the footsteps of the Savior in self-denial, that we gladly forsake everything, that we trust in thee and willfully pick up our cross and follow in the steps of our blessed Redeemer. O grant us thou the zeal of thy holy apostles and the endurance of thy holy prophets. Grant us thou, O Heavenly Father, the compassion of that merciful Samaritan, that we may be close to those that are in need, that we may be far away from every sin. Lord God Almighty, help thy friends and multiply thy blessing upon them, and grant them, O Lord, true repentance, full conversion. Grant to them, O Heavenly Father, full victory of thy Spirit in their hearts, in their lives, that by thy grace they may die to the deadly poison of sin and receive new life in Christ, peace and joy forevermore. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, to thy children that thou hast received in thy holy covenant, thou grant the guidance and instruction of thy Holy Spirit, and bless them to grow in faith, to grow in good deeds. Thou grant them courage and enlightenment, and thou protect them, O Lord, and keep them from evil, that thy word may be proclaimed, that a good Christian example may be as thy light in the midst of darkness of this world, that those whom thou hast moved with thy godly fear may seek thee and find thee, and receive thy grace in Christ our blessed Redeemer. Gracious Lord, to thy ministers, to thy pilgrims and travelers, to thy servants, O Heavenly Father, thou grant thy blessing, thy guidance and instruction, and keep us all from the hour of temptation that is coming upon the whole world. And thou grant us, O Lord God Almighty, that we all be filled with thy Spirit, that we all be united in the Spirit of thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, Spirit of love and peace, Spirit of true holiness, righteousness, in that true fellowship, in that unity, that we, O Heavenly Father, may be as thy true disciples, always having our feet washed in thy truth and our minds enlightened by thy revelation. Keep us thou from every sin. Lead us and teach us. Watch over us and protect us. And thou be with thine own in all the days of our pilgrimage, that after these few years that we are striving in this holy battle, we may find rest and peace and joy in the mansions of glory, in the dwelling place of thy saint ones, that we may together worship and adore thee in that endless eternity. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
With the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I desire that we continue our reading from the Acts chapter 21 and the verse number 27. Let us read 10 more verses with the help of the Lord. Kroz svetu Božju pomoć, u ime Gospoda i Spasitelja našeg Isusa Hrista, želim da nastavimo naše čitanje iz Dela apostolskih 21. glave od 27. stiha, još 10 stihova da pročitamo nama za nauku i utvrđenje naše u veri kroz pomoć Božju. The Acts of the Holy Apostles, chapter 21, verse 27 and on. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place. And further, brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together. And they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them, and when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another, among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, Away with him! This far I desire that we read from the ministry and suffering and zeal of the Apostle Paul, one of the early disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We already read and shared from the scripture that Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, and along the way, as he stopped in diverse places to share the gospel and mutual encouragement and comfort of the Lord with the disciples, that in many places he was warned by the Holy Spirit that there is going to be a lot of suffering, that he is going to be imprisoned in Jerusalem, and that humanly speaking, his future there is quite uncertain, that there is a great danger. On the other hand, the same Holy Spirit was drawing Paul to Jerusalem to be there exactly for that time and that purpose. So, as they came to Jerusalem, we read here from the verse 17 and on in the chapter 21, the brethren received them with gladness. There was no division among the believers. Especially, there was no division among those that were in the ministry, in the eldership, and perhaps still some of them were the apostles of the Lord. We read here that the following day, Paul went in with us, probably those that were with Paul, and some of them were recording everything that happened, everything that Paul was doing in his ministry. They all together went unto James. I cannot be exactly sure which James this was. We know that James, the brother of John, the son of Zebedee, was put to death by Herod. We know also that there was a James who was the half-brother of our Lord, the son of Joseph and Mary. And there were at least one, maybe two other Jameses. Apparently, this James was one of the leading disciples of the Lord in Jerusalem. And all the elders were present. Apparently, there were no other apostles anymore. Maybe that this is the same James that was speaking during the great gathering of the apostles and the disciples when Paul and Barnabas came to have the question of circumcision cleared and to get the ordinance clearly formulated, the ordinance that will be given to the Gentiles, to the believers that believed from among the Gentiles. For later on we see that this same James said to the Apostle Paul that they have, the elders and the apostles, have sent for all the believers from among the Gentiles that they need not be circumcised nor to keep the law and so on. Apparently, if this was not the same James, at least he was there when that important decision of the Holy Spirit and the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was delivered for the believers that are of the Gentiles, that is, non-Hebrews, all the other nations, Greek, Roman, and all the others. So, we read here that they went in unto James, and all the elders were present there. And when they shared the greetings as the brothers in Christ, Paul declared in details what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by Paul's ministry. When James and the elders understood that, they glorified the Lord. And now comes a very interesting answer. They glorified the Lord, and they said unto him, to Paul, "Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law." Now, which law? Did these thousands of Jews that were all zealous of the law believe on Christ and still wanted to offer sacrifices? Did they believe that they were saved by the grace of God and wanted to deserve their salvation by the deeds of the law? What was their zeal for the law? How were they zealous for the law? We'll see that in the following verse. And they're informed, these zealous Jews, they're informed of Paul, or about Paul, that Paul is teaching all the Jews, which are among the Gentiles, to forsake Moses. That means the whole law. Moses received from God and gave to the people of Israel 5 books of the law, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children. Oh, should they circumcise their children? Neither to walk after the customs. What customs? They had customs of partial fulfillment of the law. It was an awful thing. As if God in the beginning created a man that was crippled, a man that had one eye, or was lame or maimed. They wanted to fulfill the law so that they would be something other than the rest of the believers. They wanted to be special, better, more important, more holy. And we read that all that want to be justified by the law have lost Christ. How did that happen? Just such a short time, perhaps less than 50 years after the first apostles, that in the city of Jerusalem, in the land of Judea, Galilee, there were so many Hebrews that believed, at least that's what James said to the Apostle Paul. That so many believed from among the Jews, thousands, many thousands, and they are zealous of the law. And now, something that should have been taken care of from the beginning. Something that was apparently neglected is going to cause the elders in Jerusalem to try to compromise with the Jews. And soon after that, we see that it didn't work. We remember when the brothers of Joseph, the sons of Jacob, plotted against their brother Joseph, and they wanted to murder Joseph, that Reuben, who already in his youth, long ago, had sinned grossly against his father and against God. Reuben, now being a man, not as young, a man that had some already bitter experience in his past, desired to save Joseph, but he didn't do that openly and freely. He did not withstand his brothers, but he tried to use some device. He wanted to somehow go around, not to confront his brother face to face, his brothers face to face, but he said, we shouldn't murder our brother, he is our brother after all. Let us cast him in one of these pits. He won't be able to get out, so he will probably starve to death. But at least we did not murder him. But this was the story of Reuben. But his intention was to save Joseph later on, secretly. Or at least when the first anger of his brothers would be over. And so Reuben departed to do some of his work, probably. But in any case, later on when he came back, Joseph was not there anymore. In the meantime, Judah and the rest of the brothers sold Joseph as a slave. And Reuben looked into the pit and then he started lamenting. And he said, what shall I do? There is no child. How often we can see in the scripture that compromise with the enemy does not work. It just does not work. This time we see the same thing. The elders in Jerusalem are asking from Paul to somehow show to the people in Jerusalem, to the Hebrews, to the Jews, that he himself fulfills the law and the customs. Now that's again a good question. Why would Paul at all make a covenant that belonged to the Old Testament, since Paul himself was so plain, so clear about that, of course, guided and guarded by the Holy Spirit, that the old law and the ordinances are past. The circumcision and uncircumcision doesn't mean anything in the New Testament. I can only imagine one thing, and that is that by keeping some of the customs, not in order to be saved, not in order to do anything that would be necessary for his salvation and his spiritual welfare, but in order to be close to those that believe in the old ordinances, in order to be able to approach the Jews that still believed the law in their crippled, partial way, Paul would go to their synagogues, he would be in their temple, he would offer a sacrifice, and that way he would have had an opportunity to share the gospel of the Lord with those that sincerely, but wrongly, believed the customs of their fathers. What kind of a situation was there in Jerusalem? Thousands of Jews believed. So many Hebrews believed that they will be saved, that they are redeemed by the Redeemer, saved in Christ. And yet, they were zealous of the law. They will come together, and the elders say, "What shall we do?" Was that not a question that should have been raised when each one of those thousands believed? Was that not a question that should have been cleared before each one of them was baptized? And now they have thousands of believers that are confused and they are zealous against the Lord. So they try to make an agreement with Paul, and they say, "Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them, just as Paul himself had a vow. Take them and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads." So that was the vow of the Nazarites. The vow that was for a time, perhaps not for their lifetime, just a short period of time, or maybe a few years. Or, if it was a vow for their lifetime, somehow they were not able to keep it, they trespassed their vow, and they had to shave their hair and start all over again. In any case, the elders suggested to Paul to take these four men and purify Paul himself, with these four believers, and so publicly demonstrate or show, reveal to the others, manifest that he is walking orderly according to their understanding of what orderly walking in the faith is, and that he also is keeping the law. And then, verse 25, "As touching the Gentiles which believe, We have written and concluded that they observe no such thing. Of course, Paul was there when that was decided. And Judas and Silas went back from Jerusalem to Antioch with Barnabas and Paul to declare that to the believers, that there is no other thing for them other that they keep themselves from offerings to idols and from blood, from strangled and from fornication. Was this the first division? Do we have two kinds of believers, two sides, the same elders? There is one group that keeps the law and the other group that need not keep the law. So Paul agreed or obeyed. He was doing that before of his own will, just as he of his own will circumcised Timothy, so that they, Paul and Timothy, would have an open door and better reception with those that were of circumcision. Here, he is going to fulfill some of their customs in that partial and absolutely spiritually worthless keeping of the law, other than having a better access and more easy approach to those that are under the law. Paul again is trying to be everything to everyone, to those that are under the law, to be like one of those that are under the law, to those that are not in the law. He was close to them in order to move them closer to the Lord. So it was done. Paul took the man, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. There are so many things to think about in this verse number 26. You know where they were gone? To those priests, those murderers, those criminals, bloody people, Sadducees, that were high priests and priests in the temple. People that were not ashamed of men, neither feared God. They were fulfilling here some of the customs that belonged to the old law that is void now. They were purified by a way of purification that means nothing anymore. For only in Christ, with the blood of the Savior, our sins are washed away. Paul obviously did not believe that any of these customs or ordinances could achieve any spiritual gain, anything good for his soul. What I think he surely did believe is that by going along with their customs, he was seeking a way of coming closer to their hearts, to move their hearts to the Lord, toward the Lord. But in this case, because the elders and James with them together in a way suggested or demanded that Paul would do that, to spare the elders in Jerusalem from having that very difficult task of facing the disciples and pointing to their wrong beliefs. Because they did not take upon themselves to labor for the Lord, but they put everything on the shoulders of Paul. It didn't work. It did not work in the way the elders wanted it to work. When the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw Paul in the temple, they made a tumult. They stirred up all the people and laid hands on Paul, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people, and the law, and this place, and further, brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place." The following verse explains why they said that Greeks were brought into the temple by Paul. "For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus an Ephesian," probably a Greek man, a disciple, a Christian, "whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple." Now let's think for a moment. They supposed that Paul did bring Trophimus into the temple. They only thought that that was the case. They didn't care to check and see if that was the fact. But not only that, they saw Trophimus, an Ephesian, one man that was not a Hebrew, with Paul. And now they're making a lot of noise and crying that Paul has brought Greeks, not one only, but more, into the temple. Now this is not quite unfamiliar to us, that there are many believers nowadays that assume something and they don't care, spreading a lie just because of their assumption, because it seemed to be convenient to them to accuse somebody. But the Lord said that for every idle word we shall give an answer on the day of judgment. But this was not an idle word, this was a heavy accusation. "And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut." Who did shut the door of the temple? Probably the soldiers of the temple, or the priests, or some of the Levites that might have been working there, and so on. "And as they went about to kill Paul, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. And the captain immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul." From this moment on, the ministry of Paul is changed. He is not going to walk freely among the people. He is going to be chained. He is going to be a prisoner. But his ministry will continue with the same zeal, same endurance. It is so much better to be a prisoner and to have the liberty in Christ. Much better than to have the civil freedom, personal, physical freedom, and to be in the chains of sin. It is better to suffer everything that is coming our way than to have the pleasures of this world and the false security, the peace that the world offers. May our Heavenly Father make us every day anew, free in Christ. May He fill us with His Spirit, that even though we might have difficulties, sufferings, battles and strifes, that we may be always free in Christ and serve Him and Him alone. That our treasure may be in heaven, where there is no corruption, no stealing, no rusting, where the true values are lasting forever, because the glory of our Heavenly Father and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has filled the heavenly mansion. And for His goodness and mercy, for His love and His gentle fatherly care to our Heavenly Father, glory and honor, worship and praise forevermore.